how the same Holy Spirit leads one man, leads another. And that's always been on my heart and mind all week, and it's going to come out a little bit in this message. But John chapter number 9 this morning, John chapter number 9, if you'll turn there, John chapter number 9. I'm glad we don't have to have all the answers, but we have the main answer. Amen. Look with me, starting at verse number 1, and as we get into this, you'll see definitely how things tie in. But notice with me in verse number 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him, how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us while so many times we've been unlovely. Lord, this morning we ask you for your help. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would cleanse me of my sin. God, empty me of all of me. Fill me with all of you. And I pray, Lord, that there would be nothing that does not need to be said, but help me to say everything that does need to be said. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit of God, that you would arrest our attention, that you would bind the powers of Satan, that you would put a hedge of protection about this place and about our heart. Lord, Holy Spirit of God, roam these aisles and in and out of the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. Minister to each person individually in the manner in which is needed. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention, if I might, back to verse number 25 this morning. I want you to notice, he says, he answers them and says, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Notice this little phrase. One thing I know. One thing I know. I don't know this morning what's going to take place in the election. I don't know this morning what's going to happen depending on if it goes this way or if it goes that way. There's a lot of things this morning that I do not understand. There's a lot of things this morning I don't understand about the Christian life. There's many things this morning that I don't understand even about being saved. There's a lot of things that I don't understand. Listen, when I read this book and open the pages and read this Bible, there's a lot of things that I don't understand even about that. There's many things that I don't understand about God. His ways are past finding out, the Bible says. I don't understand this morning why Jesus loved me when I had done nothing to deserve His love. Amen? I don't understand why He shed His blood for me and went to an old rugged cross and died for me when I hadn't even looked up to Him. I don't know everything about what's going on in your life and even what's going on in my life. I don't know everything that's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. But can I tell you this? This one thing I know. Whereas once I was blind, but now I can see. I said just a moment ago, we may not know everything, but we know the main thing. Amen. I'm glad this morning, listen, I'm glad. I don't understand how a heart black with sin can be washed in that red blood of Calvary and come out white as snow, but I'm so glad that it can. And I know right now I'm not everything that I want to be. I'm certainly not everything that I'm someday going to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. Once I was blind, now I can see. Just for the next few moments, I just want to preach on that thought, one thing. One thing I know. As we begin to look at this passage this morning, once again, there's a whole lot of things that we don't know, but there's some things we can know. I know that I was lost and undone without God or His Son. I used to have an infirmity called sin that blinded my sight and damned my soul to a devil's hell. But hallelujah, one day He found me, and one day He fixed me. One day He became a friend to me. And now one thing I know, and that is whereas I was blind, but now I see. At the end of the day, I can't figure out how it all happened. I can't explain it all to you, but I'm glad it did. Let's look at this passage this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, about this man. Notice his terrible condition. Back in verse number 1 of John chapter number 9, notice his terrible condition. The Bible says, and Jesus passed by, as He passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. What a terrible thing that must be. I don't know about you, but one of the worst things, one of the worst fears, I guess, if you'd say, you think, well, I'd hate for this to happen or that to happen. One of the things for me is blindness. Imagine how terrible this must have been. And despite the great strides that we've made in today's world and the great new technology and things that we have and even the old Braille system and things like that that are help to people that are blind, to be physically blind is still a very major disability. The fact is, you and I who can see really have no idea what it's like or what it'd really be like to be born blind. We say, well, I can close my eyes. No, you get to open them. But I'm talking about 24/7, 365 days a year to never be able to see, never be able to make out a picture. I've always had empathy for those people who are blind. I can't stand, I've told you before, I can't stand to walk around the dark. And those of you that make fun of that, the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, all right? I don't walk around the dark. I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to sleep in the sunshine, but I mean, I don't want it so pitch black I can't tell my one foot in front of the other, you know? And you're afraid what you're going to step on, what wall you're fixing to run into or something like that. But I'm always amazed at people like Fanny Crosby and others who, despite their blindness, have achieved such great things and have been able to do so many wonderful things, but still their lack of being able to see has robbed them of so many of life's beauties and so many of life's wonders and so many of life's grandeur and splendor that the Lord has given us to look at and look upon. I want you to think about, the Bible says here that this man was blind, it says, from his birth. Can I tell you, as horrible as it would be for somebody to go blind later in life, it's another thing entirely to be born blind. Because you have no reference point. There's nothing for you to go back to when somebody talks to you about this or tries to describe something to you. Can you imagine to never be able to look your child in the face ever? You haven't seen them. You don't know what they look like. You can't imagine. All you can do is try to imagine their face, but you've never even seen a person. Can you imagine to never be able to look at your wife or your husband in the eye and look at them face to face and have that moment there where you're communicating just with your eyes? You imagine to never be able to see all the sparkling lights at Christmas time or the family gathered around the table at Thanksgiving and all the wonderful things. Can you imagine never being able to see the food that you eat? I don't know about you, but I'm not big on, you know, just open it up and because you don't know what people do to it anymore, you know, and I like to see what I'm eating. Little things like that, can you imagine never being able to see? If you had went blind later in life, at least you could imagine what those things maybe look like. Somebody could describe, well, it's blue, it's green, it's this, it's whatever, but you have no reference point. But this man here, the Bible says, was born blind. Don't you understand what a sad picture this is of a sinner? Every single one of us were born blind, spiritually speaking. Every single poor sinner walks through this world daily in darkness. They've never experienced the glory and the joys of being saved. They don't know the peace of God. They don't know the provisions of God. They don't know the power of God. They've never experienced that in their life. They're blind. And they've been that way from birth. We look out there and we're appalled at these people who are lost and wonder why they do some of the things they do and act the way they act. Their eyes have been blinded to their sin and they cannot see. They cannot understand the truths of God's word. It would be easier for a person that was born blind to understand the color blue than it would for a sinner to understand a spiritual truth. They can't understand it, for they're spiritually blind and blinded. The science guy Bill Nye believes that he came from Martians. What a horrible condition. I want you to notice, number one, as we look at this, thinking about the terrible condition, notice a common assumption. A common assumption. Notice, look at verse 2. And his disciple asked him, saying, watch what they ask him, Master, who did sin? Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, these disciples assume that the reason he had this infirmity, the reason that he had this blindness is because there was some great besetting sin in his life. There was some great trespass that he committed or his parents had committed. It was a common assumption. It still is today, by the way. Sadly, this is something that we still see much alive in our world today and even in our fundamental Baptist churches as we see somebody having a hard time or someone gets sick or somebody's going through a trial and we watch somebody with suffering and going through heartache and oftentimes in our mind we think, well, I wonder how maybe they ain't been living right. I wonder what they've done wrong. Maybe they need to do this or maybe they need to do that. And we make a common assumption that, hey, somebody had to sin. In Acts 28, verse 3 and 4, it says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, you'll remember the story, it's where he got bit by the viper. Laid him on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. In other words, he said, Paul, they just come off the ship and the shipwreck. You remember all that? And then he gets bit by a viper. And here they say, in other words, the reason that Paul got bit by a viper is because of his sin. By the way, that's always the way a Pharisee thinks. In this case, the Bible says they were barbarians. Job was a man who dealt with this same kind of thing. He had some friends like that. You'll remember. The Bible tells us about Job all throughout the book of Job, how did his friends come to him every time and tell him that how he needed to get right with God and needed to confess sin and needed to get things out of his life, and that's why the Lord is dealing with him. And all of us have had Job's friends at one time or another. And many times in their Pharisaic hearts, people jump to conclusions and they think, well, if they wouldn't have done this or if they wouldn't have acted like that, the fact is usually they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Jesus was quick to let them know this wasn't punishment for sin that he committed or that his parents committed. We see a common assumption, but notice a clear admission. Verse number 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Watch this. But that the works of God, don't miss this, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, God said, I did it. I did it. Now I want you to get that for a moment. God said, I'm the one responsible for his blindness. You have some quote, and I'm saying it loosely, preachers out there that'll tell you that if something bad happens to you, you just don't have enough faith. If something bad happens to you, maybe you're just not saved. If something bad, listen to me, I'm telling you, the Bible says right here, God says, I did it. And he did it for a particular reason. There's a great purpose and reason. There's a great plan, in other words, I have for his life. He said, I did it that the work should be made manifest unto him. In other words, the fact that this man was born blind had nothing to do with his sin. Watch this. But it had everything to do with God's sovereignty. It's amazing. Brother Bill was talking a little bit this morning about how that the sovereign hand of God in all of Scripture, and even just as he wrote the Word of God and seeing his sovereignty, he's in control over all of it and all the things that he put into place and all the things for you and I. I want you to notice some things about this blindness. God said, I did it. Number one, you see, we think it's all bad. We think that nothing, because if something bad happens, it couldn't be the Lord. We see it as bad, but God knows it's for good. Number one, it's an instrument to reveal God's touch. Verse 3, but the works of God be manifest in him. Other words, watch this. Please don't miss this morning. This is going to help somebody. This blindness was an instrument that God would use and God was going to use and God did use because he was doing something in this man's life. Let's just be honest this morning. We don't like the pain. We don't like the struggle. We don't like those fiery times. But you'll know what my Bible says? Count it all joy when you fall into those diverse temptations. We don't like it. That's when God's doing something in your life. Be thankful for those times. God was revealing his touch in this man's life. Before this man was ever born, God had already made a plan. Think about the sovereignty of God. Down through the sands of time, years and years before this man was ever born, he had already made a plan. He had already set some things in motion that there would come a time that this man would need Jesus. And the only reason this man ever met the lovely Son of God was because he was born blind. And he had a need. He realized his need. Listen, don't you ever think that your unfavorable circumstances have no rhyme or no reason. Never think that your pain is in vain. Literally, this man's blindness was the touch of God in his life and on his life. The Bible says this was done that the works of God might be manifest in him. In other words, without the blindness, you'd have never seen the touch of God. You'd have never seen the deliverance of God. Paul wrote, and he, one of his most down times of his life, and when he recognized and realized the truth about this suffering thing, he said this. I most gladly, therefore, glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. You know what he said? His strength is made perfect in my weakness. The reason too often times that we don't see his strength is because we always want to live in our strength. And we don't come to the end of ourselves. And it's not, listen, please listen this morning. It's not until we come to the end of ourselves that we get to see all of him. We got to get to the end of ourselves. You know what I'm glad about? I'm glad that God is concerned with little old me. Amen. The song, Small as I Am, Lord in Heaven, on high, why'd you come here to die? Why you love me? I still don't understand. When I see others more worthy of Jesus than me, yet you love me as small as I am. Oh yes, this one man, he made a plan all the way back, eons of time, down through the sands of time years ago, that he wanted to do something in this man's life. I'm glad he's concerned with me. I'm glad he's concerned with you to the point that he'll do something this drastic so that he can perform a certain miracle, a certain purpose in our life. Thank God for Romans 8:28 that says, not we think, not we hope, but for we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Listen, there is a divine purpose in our suffering. There's a divine purpose in that sorrow. There is a divine, I'm not talking about a worldly, I'm talking about a divine, I'm talking about a God intended purpose for your suffering, for your sorrow, for your pain. There's a purpose in the sadness, in all of it. And I'm so glad we serve a God that through it all, it may not seem like it at the time, He's looking out for our best interest. He wants to touch our life. He wants to speak into our situation. I'm sure this man saw no good thing in being born blind. I'm sure he didn't wake up every morning and thought, boy, I'm sure I'm blessed that I'm blind. He didn't see it that way, and so oftentimes we don't see the things that seem, they seem awful to us, but we don't see them as the blessing in disguise that they really are. Oh, but praise God, one day, listen, this man, while he may not have woke up every morning and thought, I sure am blessed, thank God one day Jesus opened his eyes, and when his eyes were open, he finally understood it. I don't say you might be here this morning and you're going through some suffering and you're going through some great pain, or you're going through a trial, or you're dealing with the heartache and you don't see anything good about it. You can't find that rainbow at the end of the storm. It seems like it's all just bad. Thank God there's coming a day. Listen, you don't know how it could work out together for good, but I'm telling you, there's coming a day where we'll leave this world and we'll go to the glory world. There's coming a day where we'll leave this fallible body and leave this broken body, and we'll have that glorified body, and our eyes will no longer be blurred, and our eyes will no longer be faulty. Our eyes will no longer be fallible. But we'll stand in a perfect world and look out of a perfect body, and we'll have perfect perception, and we'll see clearly then. And I'm glad there's coming a day when our faith will be made sight. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. I'm glad this morning. There's a lot of things I don't know. But thank God, while we know our suffering is not in vain, one day our eyes will be open and it'll make sense to us. The tragedy, it was to reveal God's touch in our life. Notice another thing, it was to reveal God's timing. It's important, verse 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me, watch this, while it is day. The night cometh when no man could work. You know, God had planned that this man would live at the very time that Jesus Christ would walk upon this earth. That was the plan. I want to say to you this morning, listen, please. You're here in this particular moment of time, this span of history, for such a time as this. It's no accident that you're here. Oh, listen, God knew that there'd be a 2020 election coming with Joe Biden and Donald Trump. He knew where you would be and what you would be. God put you in this place for such a time as this. Don't you waste it. To reveal God's timing. It was a time that God would be at work in men's lives, and Christ was only here for a short time. Jesus knew His time to minister to others would soon be gone, so He acted fast, and He acted very diligent with the time that He had. I'll say it's a wonderful example for you and I that He set for us as a reminder that you and I need to get busy, and we need to be serious about the Master's business in our life. The night's coming when no man can work. Listen, it doesn't matter what happens on November the 3rd. It honestly don't, because the King's still on the throne, amen? And the only thing that matters is you and I. What are we doing in this time that He's given us? Oh, we still have a space of grace for now. We still have a Bible that we can hold in our hands the moment that you can't, and they take it. I hope that you have it in your heart. We have the opportunity to go out and knock doors and tell people about Christ and share our faith. It's going to be too late. Very soon it's going to be too late to win your children. It's going to be too late to win your neighbor. It's going to be too late to win that co-worker. It's going to be gone. The opportunity will be passed. And soon it'll be too late to serve the Lord with our life. We all have a selected amount of days. The Lord here gives a clear admission about this man's blindness. It was to reveal God's touch. It was to reveal God's timing. Watch this. It was to reveal God's truth. Verse number 5, the Bible says, as long as I'm in the world, watch this, don't miss it, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Just before the story of the blind man here in John 9, where Jesus proclaimed to be the light of the world, just before this, He's just previously declared to be the light of the world to the woman who was taken in adultery. Look back with me at verse 10 and 11. Chapter 8. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said, unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. She says, no man, Lord. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And immediately, watch this, immediately he says, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Listen, what she could not do in her own power, stop sinning, Jesus was able to do, and she'd follow him and she'd walk in his power. Again, Jesus says to the man in our text who was blind, he says to him, I am the light of the world. And listen, while this woman that was taken in adultery might have had a moral problem with this man that was born blind, it was more of a mental problem, as no doubt the pain and the suffering of being born blind and the blindness tormented him night and day and tormented his soul. But regardless of whether the problem was sin or suffering, regardless of whether the problem was sickness or sadness, you know what Jesus proclaims to it all, to both of them, he said, I am the light of the world. Aren't you glad this morning, regardless of what situation you find yourself in, whether it's a matter of sin, whether it's a matter of sorrow, whether it's a matter of sickness, whether it's a matter of shame, whatever it may be, I'm glad to tell you that the answer this morning to our problem is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the answer for it all. He's the only bright spot in this dark world. And he says this morning, you don't have to walk in darkness. You can walk in my power. He tells her, go and sin no more. And then he said, I am the light of the world. We can walk in his power. We've seen his terrible condition. Notice, secondly, his terrific cure. Now I want you to notice this. This blind man, remember, he's blind. Now we you got to think through this. He can't see. Which means, watch this, he never saw Christ. But Jesus saw him. Y'all with me? This needs to hit somebody this morning. This man's blind. Hallelujah. He never seen Jesus. But Christ saw him. He had compassion. Look at verse 1 again. Chapter number 9. And as Jesus passed by, what's it say? He saw. I don't know about you, but that does something for me. As Jesus passed by, he saw. In other words, this man wasn't looking for Christ, but Christ was certainly looking for him. Oh yes, aren't you glad for the time in your life where you could not see him, you was not looking for him, but thank God he was looking for you. Oh yes, he saw you. This blind man couldn't come to Christ, but Christ came to the blind man. Oh, I love the songwriter says, when I could not go to where he was, hallelujah, he came to me, amen. When there was no rose red enough, was no lamb white enough, was no man good enough, and the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. When we couldn't go to where he was, he came to me. He reached way further down than any of us could ever reach up. Couldn't come to Christ. What you find in every aspect of this story is Christ was one pursuing him. Christ was one seeking him. In fact, he never even called out to Christ or asked for healing. Christ is the one seeking him. He was blind. He didn't even know he needed the Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad it's the grace of God that brings the gospel to a blind sinner, even though they're not even looking for it, even though many times they'll know they need it? I remember hearing one old fellow, he said, he'd been in the bars, he'd lived the life. He said, I thought I was having a good time. Blind in their sin. I thought I was having a good time. Didn't realize how far out in sin and how miserable my life really was. I'm going to tell you something. There's so many folks, they're not looking for him, but he's looking for them. What a wonderful thing to be cured for this awful disease. We look at this terrific cure. Notice first the method. Verse number 6. The method. When he had thus spoken, watch this. He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, no doubt you've read this before and you shook your head like I have, thought, why in the world did God choose to heal this way? Why in the world would he do it this way? You see, many times, listen to me, our ways are not his ways. and his ways are out of. The reason that we get in such a mess and the reason that we get so depressed and discouraged is because we look out there and things don't look the way we think they should look. Never forget, your ways are not God's ways. He knows what's best. Many times we don't understand why he chooses the things he does. In fact, to some people, especially this world, some of his ways seem even foolish. There's a world of people out there. Listen, I've talked to many of them. Some of you have no doubt talked to them who consider the preaching of the gospel foolish. They consider the preaching of the gospel ridiculous. But can I say this? It's God's way of giving spiritual eyesight to those that are blind, to those that are helpless sinners. It's God's way to open our eyes from our sinful condition. He says it's the power of the gospel is the way to be saved. Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. We know that it's the gospel that has the power that's behind our salvation. Somebody said this, the method Christ takes is first to make men feel themselves blind, as this poor man did whose eyes were daubed with clay. We must be made uneasy with our blindness as this man here, and then healed. The method, notice secondly the mandate, verse 7. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, the mandate that the Lord gives here is very clear. There wasn't anything hard about it. There wasn't anything difficult about it. There wasn't anything that was hard to understand. Aren't you glad this morning that you don't have to have a PhD in order to understand it, in order to understand how to be saved? I was talking with Tyler earlier, and he's taking Greek right now. I'm glad it's him, not me. But when I was talking, I said that you know what it is? It's Koine Greek. And because Koine Greek was the common language of that day, that was the most common Greek spoken was Koine Greek. And you know why that the Bible was written in Koine Greek? Because God put it down there on the bottom shelf where the most simple of folks could understand it. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, that's easy. Once again, I'm going to say this because it needs repeating. The problem is not that we don't know. I'm going to tell you that the gospel is so simple that those folks, those PhD people and those professors stumble all over it because it's so simple and they want something hard to do. God made it so simple. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He simply says to every sinner this morning, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. You don't have to know theology. You don't need to know bibliology, Christology, pneumatology, soteriology. You don't need to know any of that stuff. All you need to do is come. Come now. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Jesus said, this man, wash and be healed. He says to every sinner this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And listen this morning, if we'll confess our sin, it tells us he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once again, notice the problem says if. He says if. That's the problem. If, because God knows that the problem is not that we don't know, but the problem is that we won't. We don't do what we know to do. The gospel's simple, but we have to obey the gospel. We see the method, we see the mandate. Notice the miracle, verse 7. This man, when this blind man, he obeyed the Lord. Watch this, he experienced this great miracle. Watch what it says, verse 7. And he came seeing. And came seeing. Now don't miss this. There was a great change that took place in this man's life. There was a great difference. What a miracle that was wrought by this simple obedience. This man who was born blind was blind no more. It was evident that there was a great change in this man's life. Can I just say this morning? That if you ever have a head-on collision with the God of this King James Bible, not only will it knock the devil out of you, but it's going to make a real change. I'm talking about a tangible change in your life. I worry about those folks that they got saved and there's no change. There's no difference. Oh, yes, anytime there's a genuine work of the grace of Almighty God, it'll always produce the results. It'll always produce spiritual fruit. It'll be very evident and very obvious in your life. There was no denying that God had made a change in him. Other people even took notice of it. Verse number 8, notice that. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Those that knew him the best, seeing that there is something that's different about him now than who he was then. made a change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That word creature means creation. Complete new creation in Christ Jesus. There's a new life there. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Somebody needs to sing that song fairly soon, Thanks to Calvary. How many of y'all have heard that song, Thanks to Calvary? Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anyway. Hey, there'll be a change. There'll be a change. We see this terrible condition, his terrific cure. Notice his testimony challenge. I'm going to hurry. And I got a lot to cover, but we're not going to cover it all. They attacked his faith. Look with me at verse 13 through 17. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. It was Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? And he hath opened thine eyes. He said, he is a prophet. This is not a surprise. They attacked his faith. It's not a surprise. This great miracle is questioned and scoffed at of the Pharisees of the day. Isn't it amazing how every single time the Lord is at work in the life of a person, every single time the Lord is at work in the life of a church, every single time the Lord is at work in the life of a ministry, it always brings out the fault finders. It's amazing. It happens every single time that God is at work in a church or in a ministry or in a person's life. There come the fault finders. There's always somebody to criticize. Always somebody there to critique. Always somebody there to try and throw cold water on what the Lord wants to do. Their fault that day was that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. This is a perfect example of what Christ tried to teach his disciples. Many people get twisted up with this, about the difference between the law of the letter and the law of the spirit. We've been talking about the book of Galatians. And how many people have you met, you know, you got this deal about the law of the letter, the law of the spirit, but how many people have you met who they're right in their stand, but they're wrong in their spirit? Oh, yes. They're right in their stand, but wrong. These Pharisees were angry at Christ because how dare he heal on the Sabbath day? These religious leaders were so caught up in their little rules and regulations that they had made it a crime to even heal this blind man on the Sabbath. But you know what the Bible says? And don't ever forget this. The Bible says this in Mark 4:12, maybe I don't know, somewhere in Mark. The Bible says that the Sabbath was for man and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, we don't answer to the Sabbath answers to us. That's what it says. The Sabbath was to give man rest. Right? Can I say something? I'm for standards as long as they line up for Scripture. I'm for those things, but not at the expense of kicking somebody to the curb that's in need just because they don't meet our standard. Can I just say this? I fail God every single day miserably. I fail Him before I ever get up out of bed. And I'm so glad that somebody gave me another chance. I'm so glad. Listen, you'll tell you something. We want people to look right, smell right, act right when they're not right, and they'll never be right if we don't give them a chance to get right. I'm for standards. I'm for convictions. I'm for those things. You know, you've been here very long. You're part of this church. You're going to be doing certain positions. We have certain requirements, certain standards for those kinds of things. But I'm simply saying at some point, we got to love people. You get the heart right, and all those other things will be in line. We're concerned about, too often times, we're concerned about meeting some standard instead of making a difference in somebody's life. Jesus, let me say this, is a whole lot more concerned about the soul of a man than he is the suit of a man. Oh, yes. And you get that part right, and the rest will follow. Because if he's truly right, God will make a change in his life. They attacked his faith. Well, he didn't do it the way we thought we should have done it. Secondly, they attacked his family. I'm going to give you this and we'll be done. There's a lot more I could give, but I won't. Verse 18, start there. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. They asked them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age." He's over the age of accountability. "Ask him. He shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents, because, watch this, they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age. Ask him." It's amazing. There's no limit to how far somebody will go that opposes you and that especially opposes your faith. I've watched the Pharisees crowd attack husbands. I've watched the Pharisee crowd attack wives. I've watched the Pharisee crowd attack children. I got a preacher friend, haven't seen him in a long time, but he's up in the Florida area, up around Jupiter, Florida area. And his wife battled depression, and she didn't come to church. Hardly ever come to church. And he even agreed. He said, "Listen, I know the situation. I know whatever." And even tried to resign. The folks wouldn't let him. They knew the situation. It was a medical issue. But I'm telling you that he had some Pharisees in that church. He had some people in that church. And by the way, your wife ought to come to church. You're going to be, amen, okay, we know that. I'm talking about this was an issue, some medical issue. But they began to attack this and attack that. He's still there. The Pharisees finally left. But I'm just telling you, it's amazing how far people who oppose your faith, and especially those who really wasn't probably saved to begin with. And so they attacked him. They attacked his faith, attacked his family. We can talk about that. Attacked his friend, verse 24. Attacked the Lord Jesus. I want to say this morning, what a wonderful day it was in the life of this man that was born blind. Can you imagine? Just think about it. Now you can see. His eyes had been opened, and not physically, but also spiritually. Maybe the Lord has opened your eyes this morning to a great need in your own life. Maybe it's the need of salvation. Maybe there's somebody here, and you've been in church. Maybe you've heard messages like this over and over again, but there's never been a time you've bowed the knee and bowed your heart and bowed your head and asked Christ into your life. Maybe the need this morning is a spiritual need. Maybe this need this morning is a need of surrender. Maybe it is that need of sacrifice. I don't know. Maybe somebody's here and like this man, you're walking through this world spiritually blind. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord's recently done something wonderful in your life. Maybe the Lord saved you. Maybe he's met a need in your life and done something great and grand and some great work in your life, but it just seems you're being attacked on every side. It seems that like never before that you're under attack. Seems like most of the times after the Lord does a great work, there's that attack that comes, right? We know Jesus comes out and he's just had that spirit of, the Bible says, descended on the Lord in the baptism, and this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, come out, and immediately goes into the wilderness to be hindered and to be attacked ultimately. In between every two mountains, there's a valley. Seems like we come out of one thing and we go into another sometimes. Maybe somebody's here who's been going through a really hard time this morning. You realize it's not in vain. It's not in vain. You realize that just like this man, there's a purpose in it all. God has a reason. There is a plan for your life. Just be thankful this morning. That's why the Bible says count it all joy. Be thankful that he's thinking on little old you. Be thankful that he has a plan for your life and he's bringing circumstances to work in your situation. I heard this years ago. Somebody said, God never uses a man greatly until he hurts him deeply. You think about your greatest Christian. You think about the men and women that have mightily done some of the greatest things, greatest works, and they're people who have been known pain. There are people who have been through trial, one trial after another, one heartache. You'll hardly find any preacher who hasn't been through some heartaches, God hasn't allowed him to go through some storms, some situations. It's not just preachers, it's Christians. He's concerned as much about you as he is about me. Maybe you just need this morning as we stand for prayer to come and pray that all the blind people that you walk past this week, that God will allow you to speak into their life and God will allow you to say something. Just say something. Maybe this morning someone would come and say, Lord, I need you. Maybe somebody has a need of salvation. Maybe somebody this morning, you have to wait. Maybe somebody has a need of salvation. Maybe it's a need of surrender. I don't know what it is. But you know, and God knows. Maybe it's somebody you work with, those family or friends. Listen, the night's coming when no man can work. I'm telling you, it's coming. All this that you're seeing is really just, all this stuff that you're seeing, we talk about the election, talk about all the political things that's going on. Let me tell you something. Every single bit of it is just a precursor to what God's already told us is going to take place, is going to happen. Somebody would come and say, I read my Bible, I study, and I try to be prepared. But things come into my life, and Lord, I don't know, I need you. Whatever it is, the altars are open. Come and have that time of sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. This man that was born blind can teach us some things. He wants to teach us that your suffering and your sorrow is not in vain. But God in His sovereignty, has a will and has a plan for your life. Miss Emily, will you come and will you play and sing the song that you sung Wednesday night? You play and sing that, please. While she comes and sings and plays, you come, all right? And do business there at your seat if you like. Pray where you at, come to the altar. Whatever it is, hey, listen, our country, our nation needs revival. Our nation needs the Lord. Our church needs the Lord. Our families need the Lord. I need the Lord. Amen. We need His help in our life.